In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Most days I have a pretty hard time with that one. I don't think I'm alone. I have a friend in the ministry who for the past half dozen years or so has been battling cancer. On more than a few occasions during that time, he and his doctors have come close to concluding that he was in complete remission. But then just when it came time for that last scheduled full body scan, the cancer would pop up in a new and unpredicted place. And so another series of invasive procedures would have to be scheduled. More painful treatments would need to be endured. And my friend and his family would once again be thrown onto the wild and emotional roller coaster ride that is life, that is the life of people who are staring death in the face. So I wonder what my friend would think and how Paul's words from Philippians 4 would be received if I phoned him up and shared with him, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." To be sure, my friend has a solid faith and a keen mind. He knows that there's a difference between being joyful and being happy. Happiness, you see, depends almost exclusively on externals, our health, our relationships, our grades, our academic standing, our place and position in the church. When any of these are under attack, we get angry and we feel threatened and we will fight to get them back. That's what happy can do to us. But Paul was in prison when he wrote his letter to the Philippians. He was growing older and weaker and probably looking forward to an untimely, violent, and painful death. And still he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." How could Paul rejoice? How could the Philippians, who were living in an anti-Christian environment, how could my cancer-ridden friend? How can we? The secret to the kind of joy that Paul is talking about, it seems to me, is to be found in the very next verse where it says, "The Lord is near." More than likely, when Paul wrote this, he had in mind a temporal, eschatological understanding of near. Jesus would come back soon and usher in his kingdom. Everything that hurt or hindered his people would be seen for what it was, completely inconsequential when compared to knowing and seeing Christ face to face. This joy is near, Paul is saying. This joy will soon be upon us, and death and disease and danger will be swallowed up in Christ's victory forever and ever. So rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul was almost certainly saying all that. But I can't help but think that he may have had more in mind than just a temporal understanding of the phrase, "The Lord is near." Might Paul, who valued and extolled the use of the word and sacraments, have also had in mind a more spatial understanding of that phrase? After all, when we hear the gospel in its truth and purity, and when we receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, is not that same Jesus near to us, next to us, in us? Where two or three or more are gathered together in the name of Jesus, and through the mutual conversation and consolation of the saints, we hold each other up, we help each other, we disciple and discipline each other. Is not the Lord near in that action and activity? And I will venture to go still further. It is not uncommon for Christians of sound mind and disciplined temperament to have had very primal, unexplainable, yet very real experiences of the holy. The answer to a prayer comes at just the right time. The incurable is cured. What was hopelessly lost is found and restored. That which was beyond all hope actually happens. The impossible comes true. Now, none of these so-called experiences is ever promised by God, nor should they ever be granted the kind of authority that is rightly reserved only for the revealed Word of God. But these experiences do happen. Christians have them. Many of you have had them. So we certainly cannot say that they aren't real. The point of all this being that in predictable, promised, and proven ways, God shows up for us, and sometimes in unpredictable and unpromised and improbable ways, God shows up for us. He shows up for our good. He shows up for us and our salvation. He is always near. Which means, of course, that no matter what is going on around us, no matter what is happening to us, we are always operating from a position of strength. Did you hear that? We are always operating from a position of strength because the Lord is near. We are always going to come out fine because the Lord is near. We are always in a no-lose situation because the Lord is near. And because ours is a God who always shows up at just the right time and in just the right way for us, we rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.